How disorganized are you? Today on Radio Gorgeous, I'm welcoming on a woman who's going to declutter all aspects of our lives, from our wardrobe to exercise schedule. She's a lifestyle blogger and vlogger with over 450 subscribers on her YouTube channel, and she has a chart-topping podcast on iTunes. She is Anna Newton, and her book is called An Edited Life: Simple Steps to Streamlining Your Life at Work and at Home. Hi, Anna. Welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Oh, hi. Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. So why do we need to edit our lives?
So I think it's kind of a thing of modern life, isn't it? We just have a lot of stuff, but it's not just physical stuff. It's a lot of mental stuff as well. It's our schedules, it's our diaries, it's our social lives. And I feel like it's just everyone's got a lot on their plate, and I just think there are easy tweaks that we can be making across our life at work and at home that can ultimately just make life a little bit easier for us and create more time in our lives to do those things that we want to do and make us happy.
Okay, so in a way you're saying you don't have to focus on things too long, and if you get organized you can have more joy, really.
Yeah, exactly. I really like this genre of books, this kind of organization life decluttering genre, but I feel like so often we're just focusing on sorting out our wardrobes and putting everything in a bin bag and taking loads to the charity shop, and I feel like there's so much more than that. Like you mentioned in your intro, it's things like meal prepping for the week so that we have to cook once or twice instead of every single night. It's making a capsule wardrobe and really loving the clothes that we own, feeling great in them, which makes your mornings so much easier to get ready. It's having a fitness routine that makes you feel great, but you enjoy it and it isn't a chore. It's all of these little tweaks across everything that, yeah, should hopefully just bring a little bit more joy and a calm, relaxing nature to your everyday life.
Great. So how do we start? What's the first step to editing our life? Obviously, we buy your book.
That'd be great. Yeah.
And then what would be the first thing you say we should do?
So the book is laid out in that it starts with life, then works on to home, and then, no, works on to work, and then home at the end. And I say at the beginning, like, whatever it is that you're excited to edit and you're excited to streamline, you should start with that first. You're just going to have more of a chance to actually do it, complete it, get around to it, and feel great when you've done it. But I start in the first chapter with our calendars and our diaries. I feel like so many of us, we've got a paper diary and then we've got an online diary and we get a bit confused as to what goes where and keeping everything updated, and we're missing an appointment and we're missing a meeting and forgetting about a deadline. And so I really think that the basis is having that structure in place and going through your calendar and finding a method that works with you, whether that is having a paper diary or it is having an online diary. And it's just starting off with that, taking stock, taking an afternoon out of your schedule and doing things like setting your friends' birthdays to be reoccurring in your diary every year so that you know when they are. And, you know, on the 1st of January, we get a bit like, oh, we need to sort out our diaries and sort everything out. There's so much that we can automate. And if we automate it, we're just creating less work for ourselves. And I think by sorting out our diaries and sorting out our schedules, we're going to be able to see where we've got a bit of flexibility to go on holiday or take up a new hobby and do these things that we've been wanting to do forever.
So, yeah, because my husband and I have a fight all the time because he's definitely a paper diary and I'm a computer diary. I'm a digital diary. And I must admit, I sometimes don't see things, because how can you make sure that you see things? Because it only pops up, you know, I have alerts all the time. So I say, oh, like an hour before we did this interview, it came up. I've got, you know, Anna Newton interview, or it says going on holiday. I do that a couple of days before. But sometimes it kind of doesn't work. So I'm just, is there sort of a way that you can kind of look at your whole digital diary in one place, if you know what I mean? Can you do that?
Yeah, I mean, there's different apps that we can use. I personally use the one that comes with Apple. I use iCal, but there's loads of different ones. I mentioned them all in the book.
Is iCal quite easy? Because I've got it on. I'm using Apple as I talk to you now. I mean, is it, at the moment I use the Google one.
Oh, yeah, no, I use iCal. It's so easy. It just comes up on my phone. Everything sort of talks to each other. And I feel like I don't have to update things too frequently. So I find that works really, really well for me. But also it's sitting, maybe it's at the beginning of the week, maybe it's on a Friday before you clock off, sitting and sort of just looking at what you've got on next week. Because I'm the same, I have those alerts come up and they come up so often, you find yourself just clicking the
sort of ignore them because there are so many.
Remind me later. And so I feel like having those sessions, I sit mostly on a Monday morning, actually. I just sit and I take a moment, take stock of my week, write a to-do list for the week, work out what I need to get done on what day, and just make sure, I know I've got a meeting here, I know I've got an interview with Radio Gorgeous here, like working out all of those things.
So we've done the first scary step of doing the diary. What would you say is next? So we're feeling a bit better. We sort of can see how our week or our year or our months ahead's going. We can see where we've got space. What would you do next?
So the next chapter is budgeting.
Sorry, can you repeat that? Because we're on Skype, it didn't come out.
No, cool. The next chapter is budgeting.
Okay. That's something that we all avoid, isn't it?
Exactly. I even found writing that chapter really, really tough. It's one of the biggest chapters in the book because there's just so much to say on the topic, and it's such a big thing. You know, you can't just create a budget in an hour and be like, done, I'm done here. If you want to create a budget that you're actually going to stick to, that works for you, that is realistic within your earnings and your incomings and your outgoings, it takes kind of months, really. And I detail this sort of 6-month-long process, which sounds absolutely vile, but it's very easy. It's very broken down into sizable chunks. The starting point is just checking our bank balance every day. And that's something that I wasn't doing for the longest time. And when I started to do it, you realize things. You realize that prep is costing you that amount, your travel is costing you that amount a day. And it's very easy to see sort of where you're going a bit overboard, where you can claw it back, anything that you're spending a bit too much on. So it starts off very, very small. And it's very like small little building blocks that all build together so that hopefully in 6 months' time, or perhaps even quicker if you're very on it with your budgeting, you will have a fully formed budget that just is realistic and you can actually stick to. Because I feel like so often we pluck figures out of thin air, then never reach them. We're completely miles off, feel terrible, and 1 month later, the budget's in the bin. So I really wanted to help people to make a realistic budget for them. I've had amazing feedback to that chapter, so that one, I'm really excited about that part.
Also, Anne, I wanted to say, probably whatever we avoid is the thing that we should be focusing on. Is that what you find with people?
Yeah, totally. Mm. And even me writing the book, like budgeting is definitely not my strong point. I say that in the book. And even for me writing that section, I was like, oh, putting it off. And it just felt so good to get a proper method down on paper. And since I've been following it, it's quite honestly like changed my life. Just you know what you need to spend and you know what you can save. And it's nice to have a bit of a plan, especially as a freelancer. It's nice to sort of feel like you're in control of your finances.
Also, the thing is it's what you don't like facing is what you have got to face. And also the feeling of dread of facing something is worse than doing it. I mean, don't you think it's the feeling, oh, I can't face that, I can't face that. And that gives you so much pain. You think the process will be painful, but once you start, it's not as bad as you think. Is that what you find?
Totally, always. Yeah. I feel like everything seems so daunting. And the book is 80,000 words. It's quite a hefty book. But it is just finding these small ways to kind of just begin. And so I always recommend sort of the way to start it, because I think that once you've started it, you can sort of edit it yourself and you can work out your own strategy. But it is just getting over that initial hump of actually just beginning whatever it is that you wish to streamline or you wish to declutter. It is that initial step that is sometimes so, so painful. And then you get to the end and you're like, oh, that was nowhere near as bad as I thought it would be.
I don't know what that ting was. Okay, what's next then, Anna? We can't talk about every chapter because we haven't got all day. And as you say, there's 80,000 words in your book, which that must have taken a bit of discipline to write. What other chapters? What are the fun chapters then?
The fun chapters, I really enjoy the work chapters in the middle. So the life chapters that we were just talking about sort of go into self-care and the social life and sort of looking after ourselves and trying to find a bit more time in our schedule to do fun things. And then the work chapter, I'd read a lot of books, you know, career-based books, but I'd never sort of read one that was in this sort of framework of this organisation. I mean, ultimately, there's a bit of kind of desk tidying up in there. You know, I love that. Tidy desk, tidy mind, all of that kind of stuff. But then there's also a section on motivation and procrastination. So it's not, it isn't just this decluttering of goods and, you know, tidying up your space. It's also tidying up your routines and working out a schedule that works for you. And I really feel quite strongly about, I love a good plan. I love writing a to-do list. But I really feel strongly about making them so that they're tailored to you. Some of us are real early risers. We're really productive in the morning, and maybe in the afternoon not so much. For other people, it's going to be the complete reverse, and I feel like we never take that into account when we're writing a to-do list. Even people who are night owls are like, right, I'm gonna try and get up really early and do all this stuff by like 10 o'clock, and that just probably isn't going to happen. And so I really am trying to get people to think about their energy levels throughout the day and what sort of tasks we should be setting ourselves different points in the day. And then I feel like we're just so much more likely to actually get our to-do list done and ticked off, because we've worked out sort of when our productive little chunks of time are, when we perhaps should set ourselves more of a creative task or more of a fun task that we look forward to because perhaps our interest is waning by like 2 p.m. And I feel like by weighing all of those things up, you can, yeah, hopefully you can actually get to the end of your to-do list.
Fantastic. Now, the word digital detox, that's been a big thing for you, hasn't it? People have been very interested in that.
Yeah.
Can you give us some advice for how to digital detox? Because I probably check my emails 4 times an hour.
Yeah, exactly. I was doing the same. I would highly recommend all of us turning our emails off and like not having your inbox open. Because otherwise you just get these constant pings all day, and I feel like they take us off task, they take up a lot of our time. And I think actually if we can just sort of try and find pockets throughout the day, maybe it's that you check your emails 3 times a day, 4 times a day, find these pockets, and I try my best not to open my inbox unless I've actually got a sort of a slot of time in my day that I can reply to everything in there. And then that way our inbox isn't just constantly getting full. We're like looking at it, but we're not replying to it. And it's just slowly filling up throughout the day. So I try and be quite quite on it with my emails, because yeah, I find that that's quite a big stressor for me.
I want to talk about on it for emails, because I had a bit of an argument again with somebody yesterday, because I said, I don't feel I have to return an email immediately. I quite like to read it, digest it for like 24 hours, then reply. The person I was with said, oh, I think you have to reply within an hour. You know, I mean, what is, are the rules, are the, you know, for emails?
No, I think it's whatever works for you. I think if you're completely fine with that, I actually quite like that approach that you're like, I like time to marinate on it. Yeah. And it does stress you out and it's okay having them in there. Then reply whenever you want. Mm. For me, I find that if they're there, if I'm going to bed and I'm like, oh, I've got 15 emails to reply to, I would rather try and get that number down. And I talk about it in the book. My managers, there is no way they can ever get their emails down to zero. So they've got a number. I think for one of them it's 30 and for one of them it's 40. And that's their number. They feel comfortable if they've got their emails to under 30. They're like, that's what I'm aiming for every day. So everyone is going to be different, and how emails are kind of integral to our jobs is different for everyone, like how they're sort of intertwined. So for some people, 3 times a day is not going to work. So it is, ultimately, this book is called An Edited Life, because you are your own editor. I'm suggesting ideas, but I am all for people interpreting them however works best for them.
What about social media? How often should we check that? I mean, I've really noticed when I'm on the tube in London or underground, or on a bus, that's, I've noticed when people, it's when people usually have finished work. I think they like to look at Facebook and Instagram. It's sort of a way of relaxing, you know. Maybe we could just save it for those times, you know.
Yeah, definitely. It's funny. I did the same. I looked around on the tube the other day and I thought, what would we all be doing without our phones? Yeah, like, well, people, everyone had their head, their neck framed down. Everyone was looking at their phones.
I'm a bit older than you and I can remember people used to be reading books, reading the Evening Standard, listening to their Walkmans, maybe, people would be doing.
Exactly, with their headphones over their head. Yeah, exactly. I think for a lot of people, social media is quite a relaxing thing. So I'm not anti-social media by any stretch of the imagination. As someone who works from home, I find myself looking at my phone a lot. And actually on iPhones, I'm sure there's one on Android as well, there's now a screen time app that tracks how long you look at your phone every day.
That's brilliant.
Which is kind of brilliant, but it's kind of terrifying when you look at it. And I was looking at it and realizing that I was spending like 5-6 hours a day on looking at my phone. Part of my job is social media, but no one needs to be spending 6 hours a day looking at their phone. My friend messaged me and said, 6 hours, mine's at 10, you know. Everyone
Well, that's longer than a working day.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I think actually tuning into that and just trying to set myself a more realistic task of maybe like 2 hours a day, 3 hours a day max. You know, I have to do Instagram stories and all those sorts of things as part of my job. So 2-3 hours a day is kind of my happy place. And if it's anything under that, then I'm absolutely overjoyed. But it is by actually just being a bit more mindful. And when I'm picking up my phone, am I picking up my phone because I actually want to look at it? Or am I picking up my phone just because I'm bored and there's probably something a bit more productive that I could do with my time? So, yeah, I find being a bit more mindful about social media is probably the best way to go.
Excellent. How about streamline? You touched on your wardrobe before. I'm really into clothes. Tell me how to streamline my wardrobe and will it make me happier? Because I love clothes. I don't know whether I want a minimal wardrobe.
I love clothes too. I feel like my capsule wardrobe thing, which is the idea of basically having on display in your wardrobe the items that are currently in season right now.
That is a good idea.
Me, that's kind of burned out the fact I don't have a lot of wardrobe space. In America, they have dedicated everyone has walk-in wardrobe with these dedicated spaces. It's amazing. Over here in the UK, we just don't really have that. I've just treated myself to fitted wardrobes, which do feel incredible, but they're still not massive. Yeah. So this idea, there's a lot of talk about capsule wardrobes, and it's, you should have 40 items only, or you should only have 7 pairs of jeans, and I'm not really about that.
That sounds like loads of jeans to me. I always have about 1 pair, and I wear them out, and that's the next.
Everyone is going to be different, so I don't really subscribe to the idea of having a particular number of anything, but I do think it is a nice idea just to have what is currently weather appropriate just in front of you, and that way you can do more of a visual audit in the morning of seeing what you've got and hopefully wearing the entirety of your wardrobe. I know I'm quite guilty of just wearing the same things every single day. It is this idea of hopefully getting a bit more wear out of everything in your wardrobe, the idea of caring for things and really taking time to look after the pieces that you've got, to, you know, buy high quality goods instead of this sort of fast fashion buying things all the time. Just hopefully like looking after our things, making them last a little bit longer. But yeah, just having wear out of everything and being able to see what is currently in season hopefully will make your morning routine a little bit quicker because you're standing there and you're not, you know, you haven't got your summer camisoles. Well, you know, you're away at the moment, so, you know, you've probably got all your summer bits with you. But right now, it's spring in the UK. So, yeah, it's just more about what's having weather-appropriate clothing in front of you so you can get ready a little bit quicker in the morning.
So, Anna, that's bringing us on to home and clutter. Everybody's, I mean, especially the young, have got tiny flats and houses at the moment because, you know, property is so expensive in the UK. How do you manage, you know, with all your stuff? I mean, you know, do you use these companies, you know, like Yellow Boxes or whatever, you know, what do we do with all our stuff? And, you know, things like folders from A-levels and, you know what I mean? Things that you think, I do want to still keep that, but you know what I mean? It's like, where do I put it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're so lucky. We live in a flat, but we actually have access to a loft, which is
dreamy.
Yeah, but I lived in a flat in London before this, and you just have to be very snazzy with your storage. I'm a big fan of putting the ironing board and your clothing areas behind a sofa. Sofas can hide a multitude of things.
That's good.
They're quite handy. We used to have our vacuum cleaner behind a door that was always open. Mm-hmm. So there's kind of all these ways I would always just look for things that have storage, you know, find a coffee table that has storage underneath. You can get sofas that have storage underneath, which are amazing. Get one of those beds that, you know, flips up and has storage underneath that. Mm-hmm. And if possible, buy fitted storage where possible. Honestly, we've just had this fitted wardrobe put in, and I'm like,
it's changed your life.
It goes all the way to the top of the ceiling. We've got all this new space. It's amazing. So yeah, it's about finding these kind of handy storage hacks. I go through quite a few of them in the book, and they are very much tried and tested.
And what about deciding whether we should cling on to someone? What should we have an emotional attachment to the piece? Should we have sentimental value? How do you evaluate it?
Yeah, so I've read a lot of books that are very anti-sentimental items. And I'm personally someone who loves sentimental items. I go around my grandparents all the time, literally just to look through their photo albums. Like, I love a good photo album. So I'm all for keeping them. I think it's about using them and displaying them if possible, and not just having them collecting dust in your loft or your storage space. So I recently went up into my loft and found all these photos, and I was like, why are they up here? Like, let's put some in frames, let's put them in photo albums so we can look through them a bit more easily. You know, my grandparents gave me a lovely 70s retro jug, and you know, like one of those glassware sets. So we actually use it. We have it in our kitchen, and we use it in the summer when we're having PIMS. And I just think it's about using these things instead of, you know, and displaying them and enjoying them instead of them just collecting dust. So that's where I'm a bit lenient, I guess. I'm quite into sentimental things. I think they're nice to have. If they make you feel good, why not keep them?
And also, they are part of you. I mean, they always say, if there's a fire, what would you take? And every woman I've ever met in the world has said photographs, because they're our life. They're our story of our lives.
Exactly. And I feel the same way about a lot of just possessions in general. They're what make our house our homes, and they're what tell our stories and what makes our homes personalised to us.
Yeah, why does it look like a hotel room, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's actually really nice to have these things that tell stories. I mean, there's a fine line between keeping every single one of your, now that's what I call music CDs, that you never listen to. You know, there's sort of things that we're perhaps hoarding onto that we don't listen to, that we don't use, that we don't really need, that we don't really love. That's fine, get rid of them. But for those sentimental things, or those things that are just very personal to us, like, I say display them, be proud of them, and just try and enjoy them the best that we can.
Great. Now, Anna, you admit that you are a Virgo, so you are naturally ordered. But was there ever any a time in your life when you were disorganized, when your life was falling apart? Did this all happen because of a personal crisis in your life?
Yeah, in a way it did. I think moving out for the first time and living in London.
Where are you from?
I'm from Brighton, so I live back in Brighton now. We moved up there, and we lived very close to a very large shopping centre, which was just very dangerous. And so I feel like we just ended up with so much stuff. We had a very, very, very small flat, managed to somehow completely fill it to the rafters. And it was moving back down to here and realising that when we were moving, I was carrying a box that said old makeup box 3 on the side. So not even new makeup, it was old makeup, and it was the third box of it. I love beauty. That's definitely where I hoard. That's definitely the thing that I can always do is streamlining. And it was that moment that I realized, what am I doing? We're moving all of this stuff back in. I had an egg slicer, I'd never used it. I just realized I've got all of this stuff. Let's work through, let's try and declutter. And basically I've been doing that for like the last 4 years now. And it sort of ended up in this book, all about my techniques and methods of going through downsizing and living more of an organized, streamlined life that has left more time in my schedule to do things like write a book all about it.
All about it, exactly. Fantastic. So if there's one thing we should do today to make our lives more edited, what would you advise the listeners?
So I think we all have a drawer, and it tends to be in our kitchen. And I won't swear on your lovely radio show.
But you can.
You can? Okay, yeah. Cool. It's a shit drawer, basically. We've all got one. It's full of takeaway menus, IKEA Allen keys, Harky's birthday candles, batteries that we don't know if they're live or not. And I just think we've all got this one drawer that stresses us out, that we never want to open, but we always have to open to find these odd random things.
And we can never find them either, can we?
You can never find the drawing pins, you can never find the blue tack. And I think just by open, like, my mum had the most organized shit drawer that you've ever seen. She really does. She still does. And I was very inspired by that. And I think it's something that we've all got. And just by organizing it, it's a very small place. It can only take us an hour max. I think we will all feel very, very good for sorting through. And it should save us a bit of time next time we're looking for the torch, because the electric's gone out.
So we've all got to go and face our shit drawer today.
Yeah, go on, do it. Let me know how you get on.
I love it. Thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous. An Edited Life, Simple Steps to Streamlining Your Home, your Life at Work and at Home by Anna Newton, is published by Codrill Publishing. Thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous.
Thanks for having me.
For more amazing women, just go to radiogorgeous.com.